Track and field pick up right where they left off. Softball enters GPAC play, and baseball might have a clear front runner for team MVP. We'll break it all down for you today on the 10th ever episode of Talking Dogs. We've made it to double-digit episodes. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Olbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing well, Cohen. Had a really good spring break, but I've been itching to get back at the desk covering some more Bulldog athletics.
So have we all. We've been able to watch some things at home, but it's good to be back on campus and make it to some of those home games. But Kai, talking about athletics, talking about the number one podcast for everything Bulldog athletics, got some exciting news, don't we?
Yeah, very exciting news. So the podcast that you all know and love is now up on Spotify. So same name, Talking Dogs. Make sure you spell it right because it can be a bit confusing. But if it doesn't come up after you type in Talking Dogs, just put my name after it. Should pop up for you there. It's very exciting. We've got all of our previous episodes up on there, including some very exciting unreleased episodes. So there were some episodes we couldn't quite get up in time, so our bosses wouldn't really let us put them on the website, but we have the power now, so we just put them up ourselves.
Yeah, it's nothing raunchy. I think when we made them at the first time, we took like 2 months to get them uploaded, and we were referencing the upcoming Thanksgiving break, and they said this wasn't timely. So
it was completely our fault, but we figured we'd throw them up for your enjoyment. If you guys want to figure out what happened, football season, soccer season, we have some breakdowns of those up on the Spotify now.
Yeah, and that's it's spelled differently because we're weird. We spell it Talking, T-A-L-K-I-N, Dogs, D-A-W-G-S, and you can look that up on Spotify and find all of our episodes, including this one. So, without further ado, let's get to what we're here for, Bulldog Athletics. Softball, just like baseball, it's getting to that point in the season where we're starting to get into conference play, and they played a few conference opponents. Well, how'd they do over there?
Yeah, so they did all right, but by no means an incredible start to their GPAC season, but still something to build off of. Their first two games, they traveled to Fremont to play Midland, who are the number 12 seed in the coaches' poll. So they ended up losing 9-1 in the first game and 5-0 in the second. So always tough to play those ranked GPAC opponents. But they bounced back against Doan at home, so they had another doubleheader against Doan. Ended up winning one and losing the other one, so the win was 3-2 and the loss was 2-4. Taryn Ganstrom came up big though in our win with two big RBIs and a run off of her single hit. So we were down by one going into the sixth inning of the game, and it's doubleheader, so there's only seven innings.
Yep.
So second to last inning. And then Ganstrom tripled out to right field, which sent home Lacey Joseph and Kylie Schottenkirk. And then Ganstrom was batted in by Hannah Bowers to give us the lead. And then we conceded one run in the seventh, but then got the three stops to win us the game. Yesterday, we traveled to Hastings and also went 1-1. So we won the first game 2-0 and then lost the second 2-15. So pretty big swing there, but glad to get the one win there. And the GPAC record is 2-4. Still lots of games, though.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, in football, if your GPAC record is 2-4, that's cause for concern because you got, what, 10 games?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but softball, still have 16 GPAC games to go, plus the postseason, so nothing to panic about. Still lots of softball left to play.
And this is the time of year, too, when you're playing a lot of conference opponents, so that GPAC record, which really, we'll get into that in the baseball, but that's the record that matters as compared to your overall record. And when you're playing GPAC opponents, especially if you're like close in the standings with them, you beat them, they get a loss too.
Right.
So things can sway very easily, especially this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. And I was looking at their schedule, they only have GPAC games left.
Yep.
So if you go out to see the softball team, all the games matter. They could definitely use some support. They have some tough games this weekend. They're traveling to Northwestern, who are the top GPAC team right now. They're 6-0 in the conference, so it should be a good test for them.
Yeah, take down the top dog. Talking about top dogs, our track and field team killed it this year in the indoor, and these are the same folks from the indoor, and they're just moving outside now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So I've seen a couple names that didn't recognize from the indoor season, so maybe they're just, you know, you're doing a lot better now that they're outdoor.
Yep.
I know I prefer running outdoors rather than indoors.
It's, you know, it's the air, it's the vitamin D, it's a lot of things.
I think
sometimes in the field house it can get a bit stuffy.
Mm-hmm. The air is not the most conducive to running.
Yeah, not the best. And especially when we've got a really nice track here and
Oh, yeah.
outside in the football field, it's really nice.
Mm-hmm, for sure. But yeah, I've seen a couple new standout names, but we've also got the ones you've been hearing all indoor season. So we'll start us off with the 10K run. So we're going to have some events that we didn't see in indoor. So the segment might be a little bit longer because we got steeplechase, the 10K, we got a 5K race walk now.
So 10K, if a 5K is 3 miles, the 10K is 6 miles?
6.2, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, a little bit far.
They willingly do this, by the way. They all enjoy the sport.
They're not coerced, at least not too coerced.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. Some people enjoy it. But apparently not too many people enjoy it, though, because the men's 10K for... the Central College Dutch Invitational, which happened on the 28th of March, only had two competitors in the whole event.
Wow.
Both of them from Concordia. So, I mean, going 1 and 2.
We swept the event.
Can't complain about that. Jack Ellis and Thomas Gorline with both 33 minutes. Ellis with the 13 seconds and Gorline 21. So, I mean, 10K in 33 minutes. I mean,
with 6 miles in 33 minutes.
Yeah, that's pretty fast.
That's insanely fast.
It's like 5:30s.
That's insane.
Yeah, faster than I could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then event two on the day was the women's 3K steeplechase. And I don't know, in the weather we've been having recently, I would not want to do steeplechase.
Explain steeplechase for the layman, a.k.a. me.
So basically, it's a 3,000-meter run, but you know the pits on the track?
Yeah.
They fill those up with water and put a hurdle.
Okay, I've seen those
before.
I just never
knew
the name.
So they got to jump over the hurdle and land in water.
Yeah. Ooh.
Imagine like the windy and wet and cold.
They get blisters?
Oh, I bet.
That's gnarly.
Oh, I bet they do.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's like a boot camp thing.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, wet socks, wet shoes the whole time.
So how'd they do?
So we had a second place, Hannah Bietema. For Concordia with a 12-minute, 15.5-second run. So good to get that second. We also had Caitlin Nix and Kira Becker in the top six. On to the men's steeplechase, we had Nathan Pennekamp and Wesley Detterman going 2 and 3 in that event with a 9:54 and a 10:11. And moving on to the women's 3K, a name you guys are all familiar with, Kylan Freiberg. She won the 3K with a 9:54.40. And move on to the 3K run for the men. We have Evan Schmidt, who ran a 9:23 to take third place in that event. And then the women's 4x1 relay, we ended up winning that one. So Cambria Saunders, Kayla Kirchner, Kelly Rhodes, and Adriana Rodenkall made up that 4x1 team who took first in the meet.
And we were really good at that in the indoor, was those longer relays.
Yeah, so this one would be the shortest relay, but I mean, we were still good at that.
Yeah.
Our relay teams, we have a really deep squad.
Especially I think the women, they killed all the relays.
Oh yeah, they ended up, I believe they won nationals in the 4x8,
yeah,
placed in the 4x4, and I think they made it in the 4x1 as well.
So it's good to see that's translating.
Oh yeah. The women's 1,500-meter run, so just about 100 meters short of a mile.
Okay.
For the women, we had Riley Haker take first place in that with a 4:44.5 for her time. Then the men's 1,500-meter run, we had Hudson Opp, who got sixth place in the event with a 4:12.07, so a nice time from him. Then the women's 100-meter hurdle, another name you're familiar with, Adriana Rodenkall.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting first in that with a 14:07. And then Kayla Svoboda for us also got third with a 15:69. Women's 400, we ended up taking first in that one as well. Jenna Esch, another name you're familiar with, 56:66. So she blew the competition out of the water here. So a 400 meters, she won by over 4 seconds.
Oh my God.
So no one even close. Second place was a 1:07.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So she completely dominated the competition. And then going on to the men's, we had Liam Fagan. He got third place in the 400 with a 50.26. So nice to see that. The women's open 100 meter dash, we had Cambria Saunders taking fourth with a 12.88. And then for the women's 800 meter, we had once again Kylan Freiberg taking first place with a 2:18.9, and then we also took second and third place honors. Riley Haker and Rhea Kaczynski ended up rounding out the top three with a 2:19 and a 2:22 respectively. women's 400 meter hurdles, we had another winner. So a nice theme I'm seeing here, lots of winning times.
Yep.
Jordan Koepke won that with a 101.93. And then for the men, we had Hayden Kluth and Tegan Meyer taking 2 and 3 with 56.79 and 57.36 in the men's 400 hurdles. The women's 200 meter dash, we took first once again, Jenna Esch with a 25.53. And then Kayla Kirchner with a 26.44. For the men's 5K run, another name familiar with, an All-American, Calvin Rode, he won the 5K with a 14.49.27. And then Trey Robertson took second place with a 15.17.7. So love to see them getting in the top two there. All right, moving on to the field events. So we've got some throwing coming up. So we had Abigail Gerber for us through 58.31. Cameron Picorni got third with a 47.96. Abby Wolgemuth with a 47.77 rounded out the 2-4 spots.
And that's shot put?
That would be the hammer throw.
Hammer throw, gotcha.
Yeah, and so I'm going to talk about the throwers here, but also in the previous meet. So we had the one on March 23rd canceled due to weather in Des Moines.
Yep.
But we ended up picking up another meet last minute and just sending the throwers there. It looked like a smaller meet, so we ended up pretty much taking first place in everything.
Dominating.
So yeah, I mean, if you hear a thrower's name in this event, they likely got in the top three for the other event.
Okay.
So it's already going to be a long segment. So we're going to leave that one out and talk about the more competitive meet. But just know, if you hear a name here, they probably won the
other. We did good.
Yes.
We promise.
We did very good. We swept top six in one of them.
Yes.
So that's how good we did.
There you go.
Yeah. So men's hammer throw. We had Chris Wren. He is an All-American for us in indoor. He got second place in the hammer throw for the 57.61 meter throw. Women's discus, we had Abigail Gerber again. She got fourth in this one with a 37.04. That's meters for us Americans. Then the men's discus, we had Matthew Boyer throw 44.1 meters to take fourth place. Then women's long jump, we had Kiki Naonic for us, jumped 5.43 meters. And then Haley Miles got fourth place with a 5.23 meter jump. Men's long jump, we had Joel Rath. He jumped 6.87 meters to claim second place in that event. Women's javelin, we had Gretchen Stottlemyre threw 38.5 meters. So that's an event we don't get to see in indoor.
Yep.
Probably wouldn't be a good idea to have them throwing on a 200 meter track.
Yeah, we were just talking about how crowded that place is.
Yeah.
I don't think that would end well.
We'd have some kebabs going on after that one.
Yes, we would.
Yeah. We took first place in the men's javelin throw. So Matthew Boyer again, he got first place in this one with 59.88. Women's triple jump, we took first place, Josie Noble with 11.01 meters. And then Haley Miles took third place, and Greta Corneliuson took fourth. Men's triple jump, we had Jonah Paulson and Aaron Spivey go 2 and 3. Paulson jumped 12.85 meters, and Spivey jumped 12.65 meters. Women's shot put, Gerber once again dominating the competition, took first place with a throw of 15.26 meters. Picorni also got in the top five, getting fourth place in that. Men's shot put, we had Carson Fellhofer place fourth with a 16.03, and then Darian Semedo took fifth with a 15.99. Going on to the women's pole vault, took first and third in that event. Sydney Reichert vaulted 3.4 meters, and Josie Pools vaulted 3.24 meters. And then a name you're all very familiar with, our indoor national champion for the men, Zach Zoner, took first place in the pole vault, unsurprisingly.
Here we go.
4.9 meters. Jax Jacobson for us got second place with a 4.3. So Zach, I mean, he won by over half a meter, so that's over a foot and a half.
Blowing people out.
Yeah, not really close. And then obviously Jacobson, great to get that top two finish. Women's high jump, we had Zoe Walker get first place with a 1.68, and then Amy Reichert, She got second, Addie Reamer and Faith Espinoza, and then Kimberly Schroepfer, they rounded out the top six. So we took, what'd that be, five of the top six spots?
Yep.
And then, yeah, so that's it for the Bulldogs at the Central College Invite. Great to see the success there. I mean, great building block for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you need to take a break, get some water.
Oh, my gosh, I think so. Why don't we talk about baseball for a minute? I mean,
it's like we have so much success, so we're very happy that that is a very long segment. But, yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah, very good.
Track team's doing good.
We're suffering from success. My voice is suffering from success.
Well, we'll get on to baseball, and that's a bit shorter. We missed last week, so they only had a few series that we're making up on. But since we have last time we talked, they were ranked 13th. They've dropped in the most recent coaches poll to 17th. The coaches poll was dropped the 25th. The next one is going to be April 8th. And after our recent performances, I think we're going to go back up to 13th.
Sweet.
But I'll explain why. Record-wise, you're looking at 25-8. 9-3 in the GPAC. So we're third in the GPAC. This is weird. We're third in the GPAC. We're tied with Doan with our conference record. We're both 9-3. So we're tied second there. But we have a worse overall win percentage than Doan.
Okay.
Now here's the difference. Doan is 23-7. We are 25-8. So we have more wins than Doan by two, but their winning percentage is better.
Okay.
So they just edge us out. That is, we have a 75.8 win percentage. They have a 76.7.
Shoot.
And Morningside is in first. This is where it's the weirdest part of all. Morningside is in first. They're above both us and Doan because they have less losses. They have 8-2 is their conference record. So we have us and Doan, again, 9-3. So it's just going off of losses. We both have one more
right.
win.
Right, so we would have 25% losses. Morningside would only have 20% losses.
Something like that. Okay. Yeah, I'm a criminal justice major, so I'm just going to trust your numbers there. So that is their conference record. Their overall, Morningside's overall record is 21-9. So we have four more wins and one less loss, and we're third and they're first. Again, it's the weird conference. It's early in the season, right. like we were saying with softball, so a lot of that's going to change. The big takeaway: Concordia has the most wins in the GPAC. Caveat, we have played the most games, but we have the most wins.
Yeah.
So take that home.
Good to hear that.
Three series since our last podcast. Northwestern, we played them March 21st and 22nd. It was a four-game series, and we ended up splitting it. The notable performance from this game was game one. It was a 12-0 shutout. So both the offense and the defense were showing up. Had 11 hits on the night, 12 RBIs, but you know, we talk about the offense so much, and we're going to talk about a lot this episode, but great performances from the pitching staff. We had Caden Johnson. So, again, this is a doubleheader, so seven innings, and it's not a complete game. Caden
right.
Johnson, though, he ends up getting the win. He goes six scoreless, striking out six. Nate Weaver comes in. It's not a save when you're up by this much, mm-hmm. but Nate Weaver comes in, goes a clean seventh inning,
nice.
Doesn't give up a hit, doesn't give up a run. Good, clean stuff, 12-0. You love to see it.
Yeah, I can imagine the bullpen's very important in these four-game
series.
Yes.
So especially when you get starters, you get into conference play, you start getting games back-to-back, and with college, it's a lot of doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets very important for starters to go deep, save the bullpen arms. Good stuff, six innings, beautiful there. Next series, we end up sweeping Dort. Two doubleheaders over 2 days, March 29th and March 30th. And we go 4-0 against Dort.
Nice.
Just highlighting one game from this series. It was game two. Again, another shutout, another 14-0 victory. And like the last one, offense and pitching showed up. So on the offensive side of the ball, there's a lot of names that we could throw at you. I'm just going to throw at you 13 hits. It's about all you need to know. We'll get into some of the more offensive numbers here in a bit. In this game, we'll talk about the Concordia pitching. In this game, Dort used 9 pitchers.
Oh my gosh.
The first 2 pitchers to start the game came in and they didn't get it. They didn't record a single out. So Spronk, again, with the box scores, we don't have their first name. So the first guy, their starter, Spronk, came in 0 innings pitched, so he didn't record an out, 5 earned runs on 3 walks and 2 hits. Bad day in the office for Spronk.
Yeah, but it didn't get better.
It didn't get better because LeBounty comes in. That's his name, is LeBounty. He comes in, doesn't record an out either, walks 2, gives up two hits and allows four earned runs.
So would this all be in the first inning?
This would all be in the first inning.
Okay, so they pulled their first pitcher in the first inning.
Yeah, the game was over before
it
started.
Yeah, that's tough.
But shout out to our pitching staff. We got Braxton. He started the game, went three innings, only gave up two hits, didn't walk anybody, struck out four, no earned runs. Then we go Quinn. He gets the win. He goes four innings pitched, one walk, three strikeouts. So a good take half and half from those two guys there. But then moving on to the big shebang over since our last podcast was our matchup against Doan. Coming into this, we were still ranked 13th. They were ranked number 9. And if this is your first season of Concordia Athletics, like it is mine, like it is Kai's, last season, 2023, this was the GPAC championship game, the conference championship game. So an interesting rematch of this season. This is going to determine a lot of playoff seeding. If it comes down to it, like we mentioned, we're already first or second and third with Doan.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're 9-3 records for both of us. Yeah, if you lose that, it's 9-1 for them.
Yeah,
9-1.
Well, they were undefeated coming into this. Well, no, not undefeated. They were 9-1.
Yeah.
So we were able to even it up.
So it could be 11-1 for them.
It could have been. And then it gets
9-5
playoff.
Or 7-5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And playoff chances get very precarious when you start looking at those numbers. But we were able to come in and we won both of the games against, it was an upset, they're a higher seeded. It now puts the Bulldogs on a 7-game win streak. In game one, we won 14-13.
Wow.
Went to extra innings. Went 8 innings. And in the next game, it wasn't any less stressful. It was 6-7. So both of these games were insane. It was a huge opponent to do it against. We're obviously, again, we're going to talk about the offense. Don't worry. But one highlight performance from game two. Braxton started the game in game two. Ran into a little bit of trouble. He did go four innings, so he got a good amount of pitches in. Gave up 7 hits, 3 walks, 5 earned runs, 6 runs total, one of them unearned. But Jacob Lycan comes in, and he shuts the place down. He goes 3 innings pitched, only gives up 2 hits, 2 walks, strikes out 4, no runners cross the plate. So a huge pitching performance there from Jacob in a game where you needed to have it, in a game where you only win by 1.
Yeah.
So that was huge. But now, looking at the totality on the season, Jaden Quinn, our star first baseman, he's making his bid for team MVP. And right now, if the season ended, that's exactly what he'd be. This is his third player of the week for the GPAC conference. He gets it for week 6. This was the Dort series, the 4-game series against Dort. He went 9-14, which is good for a batting average of .643 versus Dort. He reached base 14 of 19 plate appearances,
wow,
netting himself 2 doubles, 3 home runs, 8 RBIs. And it was just huge the week that Jaden Quinn had. This is his third time, and now we get to talk about the offense. The offense has been great. We can look at the GPAC rankings, but it gets kind of boring because we're first in everything. So we're first in batting average at .330, and the next closest team is like .310. First in RBIs, we have 263. The next closest is Doan with 183.
Well, not even close.
Not even close. Again, we have more games than everyone else, but it's only by 2. We're first in hits. We're first in on-base percentage. We're first in slugging. We're first in walks taken. So we're first in a lot. I think it's a lot more interesting to look at the national rankings.
Yeah, let's do that.
Individually, Jaden Quinn is 4th nationally with 18 homers.
Whoa.
This is over 33 games played. So 18 homers in 33 games, it's not anything to scoff at. And that leads to our best stat nationally. We're 12th in the nation in slugging, which again kind of determines your batting average, adding in the power numbers.
Right.
So doubles and home runs mean more. And we're 12th in slugging. So again, we get on base at a pretty good clip. But the thing, the highlight of this offense is the power that is just throughout the lineup. Next series is going to be a big one, just like softball. It's all going to be conference play from here on out. We got Midland, so it's going to be interesting. It's a doubleheader April 6th on Saturday. That's going to be in Fremont, Nebraska. And then they're coming to Seward Sunday on the 7th. And then it's going to be another doubleheader here in Seward.
Okay, so a 4-game series, 2 at their place, 2 at our place.
Within 2 games. So
yep,
that's going to be good. Midland has been decent, not bad, not good. So you should be looking to extend the 7-game, 7-0 win streak, and
yep,
it's just really exciting. Like I mentioned, the coaches poll that was released on the 25th. Obviously, the Doan series happened after that, and Doan was number 9, and you go and sweep a team like Doan.
Yep.
I certainly think that we're going to rise a lot in that coaches poll.
You'd hope so.
Especially when you get like breakout performances by, you know, Jaden Quinn and other guys. Everyone's hitting homers. The other thing you want to talk about, so we talk about the offense. Pitching staff has not been awful. GPAC rankings were 3rd in team ERA at 4.37. So, not bad, but it's going to be obvious that, you know, if you make a deep run to the playoffs, deep run to the conference championship, a lot of that's going to be on the offense.
Right, and for those who don't know, do you want your ERA to be higher or lower?
You want it to be lower.
Okay, so being top 3 is not good for that.
Well, it's top 3. I worded that wrong. We have the 3rd best ERA.
So the 3rd lowest out of everyone.
Third lowest, yeah. Just, I think the worst team in the GPAC has like a 10 ERA, so not very good. But again, we're doing pretty good there. It's not the highlight of our team, but we have certainly seen throughout the season that some of our guys can go out there and give dominant performances.
Yeah.
And as you get closer to the playoffs, conference championship, that in tandem with great offensive play, it could be scary for opponents.
For sure.
Okay, but just to wrap things up, we got track field, softball, baseball. How is our tennis team doing?
Honestly, not great this last 2 weeks. I mean, they've been playing well the season as a whole, but last week was a little bit rough for them. So men's tennis, they were on the road for both of their games over spring break and into this week. The first game was against Morningside in Sioux City, and they suffered a 7-0 loss there. So like I've said before, the tennis scoring, basically have your doubles games. Whoever gets the most doubles wins gets a single point. And then your other 6 competitors all go up against each other, each playing for a point. So we ended up losing the doubles and all of our singles matches. And then we played against the University of Nebraska-Kearney, who are a D2 university. So, I mean, it's going to be tough going against a D2 as an NAIA program. But we also lost that one 7-0. Sitting at 5-10 overall, 0-2 in the GPAC. But we've got a chance at redemption. Back home this weekend, we're playing Northwestern Saturday at 11. So we're here. I believe it's in the field house because the wind's supposed to be like 30 miles an hour.
So they switch it up. So it's not like track where they have a designated, this is inside tennis, outside tennis. They switch it.
It's based on the weather a lot.
Gotcha.
So if there's 30 mile an hour winds,
that
they'll move it inside.
That'll do something for
you.
Yep.
So Northwestern are 6-4 overall, but this is going to be their first set of GPAC games. So we'll see what our guys can do against them. Women's tennis, in the last 2 weeks, they've just had one game. So they lost to Morningside 6-1. Alexa Richard got the single point for Concordia. They're sitting at straight 50% record, 6-6 overall, 1-1 in the GPAC. And they play Northwestern as well, but this one's on a Friday at 4:30, and this will be outside at the tennis courts. So we'll be looking to see what our guys and gals on the tennis team can put together this weekend.
Yep, they're getting into GPAC play. Everyone's getting into GPAC play a lot. A lot of the times you get caught up too much in the overall record. I know this is a problem that some people have, especially with basketball, with how many games there are. But what really matters is bringing it to our conference opponents, and that's across the board.
Yep, and this is the time of the season where our sports could really use your guys' support. Yep. So if you guys see, we got home softball game, home men's tennis match.
Home
got
baseball.
Nothing going on. Just go out and support them. I promise it's fun.
Yep, it'll make for a good weekend too.
Yeah.
But that'll be all for our 10th episode of Talkin' Dogs, now on Spotify. Be sure to stay tuned for weekly podcasts on the CUNE Sower and Spotify. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter and Kai Ulbrich and everyone at the Sower newspaper, have a great day and go Dogs!